thought about it, but I've been trying to not bring
it. Mahara.
It's a river. We're in the middle of Indian.
My lot is
and this Indian is the Sugya Sayyam. The Kadmainim, the essence question, that there's four nations that oppose Klal Yisrael. And Yishmael's not one of them. The Babylonians, Persians, Greek, Romans, and they oppressed Klal Yisrael, one after another. And now it's the Romans. But what happened to the Yishmaelites, the Yishmaelim? The Maral gives two terutzim. So one terutz is that you don't add the Yishmaelim to the four nations to make a group of five, because then you say that all five have something in common. And it's not true. It's not five, it's four and one. You have to have two separate categories. It's not five, it's four and one. The four nations, Babel, Parasamadai, Yavan, Edom, that's one group, and Yishmael is a separate group. That's his first heritage. And the Maharal explains that the four nations, they all share something with Yitzchak Avinu's son, Esav. Esav is actually the last of the four. But they all share something in common with Esav. Yaakov Avinu got the bracha, he got the main bracha from Yitzchak through subterfuge, romayis, trickery. And as soon as Yaakov left, Esav came in. Because Yitzchak sent Esav out to go trap the deer. So Esav went out to trap the deer. And then Yaakov slipped in there and got the bracha. Yaakov left, and Esav came back with the deer. And he asked Yitzchak, okay, ta, here's the deer. And now give me the bracha. And Yitzchak said, I gave you the bracha already. He said, oh no, oh no. Someone came in and masqueraded as you. It must be Yaakov, because Yaakov and Esav are identical. It must be Yaakov. What are you going to do? I gave him the bracha. It's too late. So Esav started crying and crying and crying and crying. And he said to Yitzchak, a bracha achas yilucha avi, you only have one bracha? Bracheni gamani avi, bless me as well. And because I'll tell us, b'schus the tears. So Yitzchak gave him a bracha. And that bracha is a source of great distress to us. The bracha that the Esav got, we're suffering from that bracha. Adayin. Because there's only one bracha that you can give someone after you've given his younger brother everything. How do you bless someone after you've already blessed his brother with everything? If you bless Yaakov with everything, there's nothing left to give Esav. I mean, this bracha is a serious thing. He gave Yaakov the world. He gave Yaakov this world. He gave Yaakov Olam Haba. He gave Yaakov everything. How do you bless Esav? What's left? And the answer is, what's left is that Yaakov only gets, he blessed Esav, that Yaakov only gets the brachas when he acts like Yaakov. And if Yaakov acts like Yaakov, which we say, a kol kol Yaakov, the Yaakov acts like Yaakov. Yaakov acts like Yaakov, like Yaakov should. And Yaakov's children and grandchildren, the entire nation acts like, acts Jewish. If we act Jewish. So then Yaakov gets everything. He gets this world and he gets the next world and gets everything. And Esav, you know, if he wants it to be any, he should help Yaakov, help him out. Because if Esav doesn't help Yaakov out, he's really a nobody in this world. Esav can only get anything, he'll get the crumbs and the leftovers from Yaakov. But if Yaakov doesn't act like Yaakov, if Yaakov starts imitating Esav, if somehow Yaakov sees the attractions of the world of Esav, so then all of Yaakov's blessings leave Yaakov and get transferred to Esav. So that's the only bracha you can give someone. It's like, that's the bracha. The Yitzchak said, I blessed Yaakov. So the blessing is chal on Yaakov. And as long as Yaakov is Yaakov, he has the bracha. The minute Yaakov ceases to be Yaakov, so he loses the bracha. and it goes to Esav. The Maral explains that that's the four nations. All four nations share this in common. That you can never have Yaakov and Esav both being up at the same time, and you can never have Yaakov and Esav both being down at the same time. It can't happen. Because if Yaakov acts like Yaakov, Yaakov's up, and Esav's down. You ever went on a seesaw? I would not go on a seesaw with me. First of all, when I go down, he'd still be standing up. You know, he wouldn't have to even sit down. It's like, it would just be pointless. But that's what it is. You can't have, when the Jews are up, there's a reason why they're up. They're up because they're acting like there's Zayde Yaakov. If they're up, Esav is down. That's part of the bracha. Part of the bracha is Esav's going to serve Yaakov. So as long as Yaakov is Yaakov, Esav has to serve Yaakov. If Yaakov acts like Esav, there is no more Yaakov anymore. If there's no more Yaakov, so Esav gets Yaakov's bracha. He inherits it. So Esav goes up, and where does Yaakov go? He goes down. And this was a direct result of the bracha of Yitzchak Avinu.
So it's the makom chibur between them. As in, it's the fact that they both got rocked in the Yitzchak.
What is the makom chibur
between the two things that make them?
Yaakov and Esav are two parts of a whole. The marshal of the seesaw was a very exact marshal. The reason why one goes down and the other goes up is because if it'd be two different planks of wood with two hinges, then when one went down, the other one could stay down, and it could both be up. The reason why when one goes down, the other one goes up is because they're one entity. The mamsha seesaw, or teeter-totter, whatever you call them.
But how is it understood in his time, in Jacob Mesa's time? I understand now.
Well, Esav was up then.
And this is a metaphor.
No, Esav was up then.
Why couldn't Yitzchak just give the bracha, the same bracha?
He was a slave for 20 years.
By choice.
Okay. But he was a slave for 20 years.
Esav was hunting him for 20 years.
Esav was busy consolidating his kingdom. There were 11 kings of Esav. Esav built a whole dynasty of 11 kings. Mm-hmm. And then Yaakov, in the form of Shaul HaMelech, David HaMelech. And Yaakov Avinu established his own dynasty, and then Edom went, disappeared. Mm-hmm. Edom disappeared from the scene. So this is, his mom, I'm glad you raised that point, that as soon as Esav got the bracha, so he used it. Because Yaakov was low profile. If Yaakov's low profile, Esav rules. So the four nations, they culminate with Esav. Bavel, Parsa, Madai, Yavan, and Edom, they all share this thing in common. They have the properties of Edom. I think we discussed this before, that each one of the three exiles, Bavel, Parsa, Madai, and Yavan, they had their own character. And above all, they destroyed the Beis HaMikdash. Parsa, Madai, they wanted to destroy the bodies of the Jews. And Yavan, they were trying to attack the mind of the Jews. Edom did it all at once. So there's a very strong relationship between those three nations and Edom, because Edom absorbed all of them. There's Yavan and Edom, there's Parsa, Madai and Edom, and there's Yavan. But Yavan, Babel, and Parsa, Madai, they're all in Edom. So that's why all of them are going to have this Nakuda, that they only rule when Klai Yisrael's down. And that's why the Nebuchadnezzar was a nobody. We just talked about the Nebuchadnezzar today. The Nebuchadnezzar was the one that destroyed the city of Nineveh. Yaim went to Nineveh, and he said, Oid Arboim Yaim, in another 40 days, when Nineveh Nepeches, and Nineveh is going to be overturned. Rabbi Benel says that he's a liar, because in 40 days it wasn't overturned. It was very far from being overturned. And the people did Shuvah, and it wasn't overturned. So he's a liar. So there's a number of terutzim. The one terutz that Rabbi Benel gives is Oida Boim Yaim is a remus. First of all, the word Yaim doesn't always mean day. Sometimes the word Yaim means years. The word Yaim can mean a year. In the other Pasha Chayisara, when Eliezer came to take Rivka away, so Lavan and Rivka's mother told Eliezer, let her stay by us, Yamim Ay Asar. She should stay Yamim, days, Ay Asar. Asar is 10 months. Let her stay by us days or 10 months. So Rashi asks, the word is wrong. If they're trying to convince Eliezer to leave her behind, they should say, let her stay for 10 months. Oh, okay, you don't want 10 months? So at least a few days. You know, you say the larger amount first, and then you say the smaller amount second. You don't say, let her stay a few days. Oh, you can't wait a few days? Okay, how about 10 months? Doesn't make sense. So based on that, Rashi learns that Yamim doesn't mean days. Yamim is years. And that's what they were telling him. Yeah, she's 3 years old. Let her stay a few years. You can't wait a few years? 10 months. Then it makes sense. So the sentence structure only makes sense if the word Yamim means years. So Oida Boim Yaim, the Abamina says Yaim means years. Oid. The gematria of the word Oid, Ayin Vav Dalad. Ayin is 70. Vav is 6. And Dalad is 4 is 80. So Ayin Vav Dalad represents the number 80 because that's the gematria of the word. The next word is Arboim. 40. So 80 plus 40. Is 120. Yain doesn't mean day, it means years. So when Yain is said to the people of Nineveh, Oida, Bayim Yain, but Nineveh Nepachas, so he meant that 120 years Nineveh is going to be overturned. 120 years later, was Nebuchadnezzar, Melech Bavel, he overturned the city of Nineveh. Tremendous. That the Bible now says. Now, if they wouldn't have done Shuva, so then they would have been destroyed in 40 days. So there's the Pasuk Pshat, and there's the Pshat with the Medrash, with the Drush. The Maaseh did the Shuva. So there's a lot about the nation. They're all under the umbrella of Edom, the Edom umbrella. They're under the Edom umbrella, and that's why Nebuchadnezzar, he was a nobody. The Babylonian, he was the first monarch in the Babylonian dynasty, which lasted a few years, the whole Maisa. There were three kings. There was Nebuchadnezzar, Evel Merodach, and Belshazzar. And the whole Maisa lasted for just a few years. That's the Babylonian Empire, which they conquered the entire world, lasted less than 40 years. The whole thing.
Less than 40?
Yeah. Ooh. Well, Evel Merodach was I think 2 years. Belshazzar was less than a year. Belshazzar was assassinated. He was killed. He was killed by Darius the Mede. So what made him great? You know, like how does a nobody become the power? How does a nobody rise to power, rise to dominion over the whole world overnight, literally overnight, and then disappear from the scene? Because he took the Malchus away from Klal Yisrael. At that time, the Bnei Yisrael weren't acting like Yaakov Avinu. The Gemara says that they were being over on Gila Reis, Avod Zarah, Shrikas Daman. The big three. The first place of Midrash was because of the big three Amirs. So Nebuchadnezzar came, and he took the Malchus away from them. He captured them. He destroyed the base of Midrash, he captured them. And now he's the master over their power to rule. Klal Yisrael has the power to rule, and he overcame them, so now he acquired their power to rule. It's a powerful thing. You know? He ruled the world, Mikayach, Klal Yisrael's Kayach. His ability to rule the world was not the same as a regular Buster of a dumb conqueror that he rises to power militarily. He amasses an army, and that's a process. You know, you have to have military might. People have to fear you. You need strategy. And that's a process, and that's Mamish Bedecha Teva, Hashem rules the world. And the Melech that rules the world like this is ruling the world Bedecha Teva, natural. But the Nebuchadnezzar's dominion, his shlita over the world was anything but natural. It wasn't natural at all. He had the power of Klal Yisrael. When Klal Yisrael rules the world, they don't rule the world because they have superior military strategy. When Klal Yisrael rules the world, they rule it because they're God's people. So when the Gentile, you know, the average Gentile kingdom throughout the generations, when they come to power, that's Bedecha Teva. They're stronger, they're more powerful. But when Klal Yisrael rules, there's nothing to do with physical strength. It has nothing to do with might. It's because they're God's people, and God's people rule. It's as simple as that. Because they, you know, they're more worthy. They're worthy. They're worthy, and they're going to know what to do with it. When they rule, they spread God. So you have Klal Yisrael when they rule, it's a Ruchni sticker thing. You have the other nations when they rule, it's a Gashmi sticker thing. And then there's a third thing. When the Goyish nation conquers Klal Yisrael, then they're conquering the Ruchni stick of power to rule the world. That's devastating. That's devastating. That's the third category. Nebuchadnezzar are conquering Klal Yisrael. So then they rose to the top. Where does Klal Yisrael go? They go down to the basement. And so it was. And the other nations, when Yavan or Persia Madai was first, Madai attacked Bavel, the king at the time was Belshazzar. They wrested away from Belshazzar the koyach of Klal Yisrael to rule the world. And they took over, the Jews that were in exile were taken over by the Persians and the Medians. And by them, you know, it was the biggest accomplishment of the war was they captured the areas that the Jews lived. Had the Persians and the Medians not conquered those areas, they just would have conquered the areas where the Babylonians lived. They never would have won the war. This was not a natural war. The goal was to capture the Jews. You capture the Jews, so then the power to rule the world is no longer under Babylon, it's under Persian Madai. And then they go to the top. And where does Madai go? They go to the top. Where does Babylon go? They fade off into oblivion, which is exactly what happened. And so on and so forth. Until you get to Eden. Moral says, that's why those four nations are put together. Why is Yishmael not mentioned? Yishmael's not mentioned with the four nations. He's not mentioned. In all the Chazals, there's many of them. You know, anytime you mention the number four, you say Babel, Parzamada, Yavan, Eder. You know, Tayu, Vayu, Chayshach, Apnei, Sahim. Nevesh Ruach Neshama Hakol, Neis Gadol Hayasham. You know, all the four sides of the dreidel. All the fours are always Babel, Parzamada, Yavan, and Eder. And Yishmael, it gets left out. So why is that? Because Yishmael does not get their power to rule from Yaakov's failures. Yishmael is Avraham Avinu's child. And Avraham Avinu davened to Hashem that Yishmael should, something should come of him. And Hashem told Avraham, Uli Yishmael Shmaticha. As far as Yishmael is concerned, Hashem said to Avraham, I'm here. I heard you.
That was bigger than Yitzchok's bracha.
It was a different kind of bracha. Yitzchak's bracha was a teeter-totter. A seesaw.
Why couldn't he give you eighth of his own bracha when Yishmael got his own bracha?
Because Yishmael didn't have the same competition. Esav and Yaakov are one entity. They're twins. Yishmael was not a twin with Yaakov. With Yitzchak. Yishmael was not Yitzchak. He was a half-brother. He wasn't one entity with Yitzchak in any manner, shape, or form. They weren't meant to work with each other. Yaakov and Esav were meant to complement each other. So they get one bracha between the two of them. And Yaakov, he gets the higher part of the bracha when he acts like Yaakov, and Esav gets the higher part of the bracha when Yaakov does not act like Yaakov. So the Ra says that's why you don't put them together. You never mention Shmuel along with the other ones because he could be a king at the same time when Klai Yisrael is a king. This is current events. At the same time when there's a melech in Klai Yisrael, you can have a melech of Yishmael. It works. At the same time when Klai Yisrael is in Golis, so when they're downtrodden and they're in exile, so then the Yishmaelim could also be downtrodden and in exile. There's none of this parity that one has to be down or one has to be up. You don't have that with Yishmael. So he doesn't belong in the same category. Yishmael is not linked to Yaakov. His fortunes, his fate is not linked to Yaakov. And his ability to rule was given to him by Avraham Avinu directly. He doesn't have to capture a Jewish territory in order to rule. They can rule without capturing the Jews. That's the first Yisrael Amaral. And the second Yisrael Amaral, here's another Teretz, which he holds as the Iker Teretz, is that Yishmael is mentioned with the four nations. Because Yishmael integrated with Persia. So every time you mention Persia, you're mentioning Yishmael. It's the second Teretz.
How did Yishmael do in Persia?
They did it. What is the biggest threat to the... What is the biggest threat, the present threat, the imminent threat to the world right now is the development of nuclear weapons by Iran. Iran's Persia. And they're Muslims. But they're not Arabs. They're Muslims. Yishmael bonded with Persia. And the result is destruction.
How do we know Yishmael is Arab?
Well, for a fact, when the characteristics match, Arabs, they don't put down roots, they're always wandering. It's more Masera. We have Masera. They have the Masera that they come from Yishmael. But they exhibit all the characteristics of Yishmael. Para-Adam. Para-Adam means, Adam means that they're human beings, which means that they believe, they're not animals. They believe in a higher power, they believe in Allah. But para, that means that they're wild, they have no structure whatsoever. There's no consistency, there's no structure. You can never pin an Arab down. You ever try and have an argument with an Arab? I've tried. In yeshiva, we used to argue with the Arab, the cleaners. That's in the days when yeshivas used to have Arab cleaning town. You can't pin them down. They're never wrong. They just shift the facts to match their opinion. And they do that to history also. They make up history as they go along. So history is an ongoing process. History of the past is the future, and it's the present and the future. The guy was telling us that there were never any problems between the Jews and the Arabs until the Zionists came and started throwing the Arabs out of the land. And I told him, I said, the Arabs weren't too kind to the Jews over the past 500 years and all their lands. They lived among them, and they took their wives and their children, and they forcibly converted them to Islam, and they didn't allow them to... They're basically slaves. And he says it's just Zionist propaganda. So here you have a nation with 500 years of Jewish oppression. The Zionists made that all up. The Zionists falsified history. They made that up just to have an excuse to throw the Arabs out. You can't talk to him.
Tell that to him, Parash.
You can't talk to him.
If it had been vice versa with the brachos.
Oh, vice versa?
Yes. Well, what's it called? Would that be the bracha that Esau got? Would that be the bracha that Yaakov got? Because it seems like it took Yitzchak a little bit of time.
Well, if Esav, you're saying if Esav would have gone in there first? Yeah. If Esav would have gone in there first, the words that Yitzchak said to Esav would have had a different meaning. The words on the surface are all physical blessings. He basically blessed him with bounty and prosperity and rain. But we know that those things have deeper meanings. So when Yaakov got the bracha the way Yaakov understood those words.
And how would you understand it?
And Esav, when he got the bracha, he would have gotten prosperity in this world, which he would use to help make it easier in Yaakov Avinu. Esav would be involved with this world, and he'd provide for the physical needs of Yaakov. So Yaakov could be totally involved in Olam HaBa. the reason why Rivka is the one that switched it around is because she knew that Esav, when being blessed with the physical prosperity, he wouldn't use it for Yaakov. She saw what Yitzchak didn't see. So Yaakov also needed, Yaakov needed that bracha as well. Right, so that's, so mainly it comes out there that the world, you know, the nations of the world, these nations are still there. There's two groups. There's one group live their up way down, and it means as long as they're up, we can't get up. If you want to know when Christ are going to rise, what's the sign that Mashiach is imminent? That's when the malchus of the nations of the world go down. Then we can go up. As long as they rule, as long as the Memshallah, as long as the Malucha is in the hands of Edom, and Edom is Christianity, Western culture, mostly Europe, America also, but mostly Europe. Edom, Europe is concentrated Edom. America's like diluted Edom, because everything in America is diluted. America's like watery apple juice. Edom, they put some concentrated in a little bit of
water. Gatorade,
yeah, it's not really very palatable. But Europe, I'm talking about Europe and the Vatican and Rome, and that's where the power of Esav is in Europe. As long as they have the power, we're not getting up. They're up, we're down. When they go down, we start going up. And Yishmael's not like that. They could be up and we'll be up. Or they could be down and we'll be down. Yishmael's not like that. It's possible. They're not linked. It's possible that, the Maral says, it's possible that they'll totally disappear before the time of Mashiach. Even when we're down, we'll just get knocked out. It's possible that they'll be up when we're up. It could fluctuate. That's what we discussed until now. Just a little weiter. Kamesh Brash Lamala. Ki Erech Abba Malkus HaMalk Yisrael. The dreams. The visions. Daniel had a vision of four things, and Nebuchadnezzar had a vision of four things, and their visions matched each other. Each one of them saw something that's a parallel to one of the nations. The thing is, Daniel saw four creatures coming out of the sea, three of them which are identifiable, and one of them which was some creature that no one ever knows. And Nebuchadnezzar saw a human being. The head was gold, the arms were silver, the torso was copper, the legs were iron. Because Nebuchadnezzar saw the four nations as human beings. So his vision took the place of his beliefs. We're human beings. We have different natures. Some of us have a nature of gold, he put himself at the top, obviously. Some have a nature of gold. The head of the figure was the head of Nebuchadnezzar, was his face. Some of the nature of silver, some of the nature of copper, and some of the nature of iron. Right now we're in the Iron Age. It's very rough. But Daniel saw them as animals, because Daniel saw them in his true form. They're animals, the behemoths. The behemoths that look like people. One of the signs that Mashiach is coming is a Mishnah in Masechta Sota. It says, Chutzpah Yazgid, there'll be a lot of chutzpah. Na'arim Pnei Zakenim Yalbinu. The young will embarrass the faces of the elders. The Yain will be B'yaker, it'll be very expensive. Substances will be expensive, but everyone will be trying to get a hold of it. It's mamish substance, the drugs. And what, usually something's very expensive. So then not so many people buy it. But it's time of Mashiach. It's going to be very expensive, and everyone's going to want to buy it. And it also says Pnei Hador Ke Pnei Kelev, the face of the generation. The generation has a face. The generation is like a person. It's got a head, it's got a generation. Time has body parts. And the face of the generation, that means the part, the high, you know, the highest ideals of the generation, the culture, the face, the thing which is the most prominent, the thing which shows the wisdom of the generation, the vision of the generation, is the vision of a caliph. The people of Mamish it's going to be revealed. The people of Mamish dogs. The Rebbe tells about Rav Chaim Levin Shlita, may he live and be well, Oyachem Vashanim. He used to say that the Mepharshim say a pshat. What does it mean that the face of the generation is like the face of a dog? It's talking about midos, because the dog is very brazen, so their face is going to be brazen. He says those pshatim might have been necessary at once upon a time. You have to explain why the face of a generation is like the face of a dog, because you have to explain, you know, up here, lumbus. What does it mean, it's like a dog? He said, but bismanenu, in our days, you don't need to say any lumbus, you don't need to say a pshat. Just walk outside and you see the way people walk around and the way they're dressed. He said, the mamash walk around like a pashut dog. The way he says it, you know. They walk around like a pashut dog. You don't need pshatim. It's pashut dog.
It's one of the biggest things now. All the girls take pictures with their tongue sticking out.
Hashem
Yirach. It's in Mishnah and Saita. It's selfies.
Hashem
Yirach. Talking about selfies.
By Yosef, with Eishet Potiphar.
Ever seen?
So she said, Shech Ba'imi. She said, lie down with me. And the Medrash Darshans, from the word Imi, lie down with me. So if he would have lied down with her, so then he would have been with her for all eternity. And the Lashon Medrash is Kshura by Kukela. She would have been bound to him for all eternity. It means even in Olam Haba. Kshura by Kukela. She would be bound to him like a dog. But if he would have done an Aver with her, in this world, so then he would have made a connection with her that was never severed. And in Olam Haba, you know, when everyone's going into the Masifta of the Rikia to hear Shir from Avraham Avinu, so Yeshua would want to go in, and then she'd follow him like a dog, like a dog, and she would never, they wouldn't be able to separate the dogs. They connect to a person. You can't separate them. It'd be embarrassed for all eternity. She's Kshua by Kekalev. She mom's like a bunch of a dog. She's a dog. Now it continues. So the clash between the Klal Yisrael and the nations of the world is a clash between humans and animals. Not a human contest. In a physical contest between man and animal, who's going to come out on top? Chances are the animal. As the Romans would put someone they throw someone into the Colosseum. They had Colosseums. They put someone in there with a lion. Chances are that the lion's going to have a good supper that night. It was a sport. They'd watch the person be ripped apart by the lion. It was probably a very rare occurrence that the person came out of there alive. And if he came out alive, he'd come out in one piece. You know, the physical strength of an animal surpasses any human being. When was the last time you won an arm wrestle with a lion? Just, you know, you're trying to open up the jaws of a lion. So Maral says that if you fight the Gentiles on their turf, you're going to lose. So how is a human being, how does he overcome an animal? He can't use brute strength. We use chachma. So chachma could be technology, you know. We use chachma. Instead of ripping off a branch and trying to take a swipe at the lion, we don't play fair, and we shoot it with a rifle. But you need chachma to make a rifle. It's not a physical contest between a human being and the lion. They call it a sport. It's not much of a sport. You've got a gun. Hunting.
It's a lion.
It's a lion. Well, darn, you, of course you're going to take a gun against a lion. You don't want it to be a fair fight. They call it a sport. Man against the beast. Man against the lion. So that's on a very, very physical level. That the way that a human being could defeat an animal is only if he rises above the animal and uses his seichel. So that's on a very small level. We're in a cosmic struggle between the animals of the world and the humans of the world. The more that we view ourselves as physical beings, that we're primarily physical, and our accomplishments are in the realm of the physical, and we consider someone a success if they're physically successful, the whole culture, you know, the whole thing. So the more we're putting ourselves in danger, because in the physical world we're going to lose. It's a danger. It's not just bad midos. It's not just a midos alert. It's to immerse yourself in the physical flesh pots of this world. It's dangerous. Because if we, the Bnei Yisrael, that were created to live forever, our soul is eternity. If we place ourselves in the same arena as the lions, they're going to eat us up. You don't play fair with lions. You don't enter their world. You don't go into a jungle. You don't go into the lion's den and expect to come out alive. You take a helicopter and you shoot them with a machine gun. That's what you have to be higher above. You're above them. You bomb them. You throw white phosphorus on them. You just, you know, I'm just saying, you don't play fair. You use every weapon at your disposal, with all your wits, all your chachmah. You have to be above them. You don't go down, you don't go into the cage with the tiger. There's a reason why people pay to see the tiger trainer go into the cage with the tiger. Why do they pay? Because generally going into the tiger cage with the tiger, you don't come out alive. So when he goes in and comes out, that's a pella, it's a nice. It's a like kedach hateva to go into their world and come out unscathed. So people pay money to see that. What's the flip side? The bright side? Is that if we focus on the spiritual part of ourselves, the main accomplishments in the day are the spiritual ones. The main successes are the ones of the spirit. Now, we're involved in the physical, that's great. But the physical should be the servant of the spiritual. You want a healthy body, work out, eat well, because that way you can accomplish more things in the physical world. If the body is not strong, if you don't get enough sleep, you don't get enough rest, if you're not in shape, then you can't do any spiritual accomplishments. So you're living with one foot in this world and one foot in the next world. And everything in this world is for the service of the thing in the next world. So if you do that, you're acting like Yaakov. You're not competing with the Gentiles. The nafkamina between physical strength and spiritual strength is physical strength has a limit. All physical strength has a limit. The lion might be 10 times stronger than a human being, but he's not 11 times more. He's only 10 times more. So in a physical contest, lion wins, human being loses. But if something, you know, presents itself, if he's presented with a challenge, if he's challenged by an animal that's 11 times stronger, then the lion's going to lose. And the lion can't bring himself up a notch. He can't make himself stronger than he is. He has what he has, and that's it. That's the word behema is beis hei mem hei. Behema is ba ma. Ba means inside of it. Basically, Yanuk Va Yisrael, Ma is whatever it is. Ba Ma, whatever is in the animal's energy, you can't add to it. Animals don't work out. Whatever they have, they have. Whatever they don't have, they don't have. If somebody has spiritual strength, so he's not relying on his own strength. He's going to rely on his own strength, he's going to lose. But you say, I'm primarily a spiritual person, and I'm connected to the one that created strength in the first place. God created strength. And now you say, Nayev Kayak. You know, the brachas are nice and yakayak. The God gives kayak to someone that's tired. It doesn't mean he's not going to be tired anymore. Normally, tired people have no kayak. A nice layup kayak because the God gives kayak to people that they're tired. They have tired people with kayak. A nice layup kayak. Tired people with kayak. If you're using your own kayak, then there's a limit to how far you can go. If you're connected to God's supply of kayak, so then the amount of kayak is limitless. It's like the jug of oil for Isha Tzarfatis.
For the what?
Isha Tzarfatis, the jug of oil that she kept on pouring out. Elisha told her to keep on pouring out oil. Eliyahu told her. Keep on pouring out. What? Yeah, but Isha was Isha Shunamis. Eliyahu did it with the Isha Tzarfatis. Eliyahu was Mechayim Mason, the son of the Isha Tzarfatis, and that boy was Yaina Navi. And we will admit some of the mamshik with this, but this is Yana Diyama. I think it's obvious to anyone here. I mean, it's just in Yana Diyama that the malchus of the world is going down. America used to be a malchus. It's a shvach malchus. America used to be a malchus. The people were, you know, the nations of the world were intimidated by America. When America rattled its sabers, then people jumped. And now, it's just empty statement. There's nothing to back it up. Russia used to be a malchus. They were the most powerful malchus of the previous century. I mean, they were malchus for almost an entire century. And Russia is a bottle. Britain used to be a malchus. The British Empire. Who cares what they say nowadays? The Spanish Armada. All the malchus are being bottled.
Russia's making a comeback.
Brazil.
The only nations that are really making a comeback, if any, are the Muslim nations. And they're not part of this up and down thing. You know? The malchus in the world is going down. That's a preparation for the malchus of Klal Yisrael to go up. And we have to be part of the process. The only way the malchus of Klal Yisrael is going to go up is if we realize, if we understand that our malchus is not the same as their malchus. Their malchus is one of the body, and it's limited, and our malchus is of the spirit. We have to view ourselves as 1 foot over here and 1 foot in Gan Eden. And our job is to take everything from here and bring it to Gan Eden. Which will be Mamsha.